The first hour, though, we're delighted to have in studio Alvin Reed and Rob Raines for a little roundtable. Men, great to be with you. How are you?
Thank you, man. Great to be with you.
Great, Frank. Thank you.
All right, we got a lot to discuss. And seeing how you guys are, I'll say, experienced, I think you'll answer this question the same way I did. Young Matt Rocchio, who was born like in 1999 or 2005, or he's like 12, did not agree with me. But here's the way I asked the question the other day. As we get ready for the Rams to play the Cardinals, would you trade the Super Bowl win and the Rams for the Cardinals still being here? I answered that question, heck yes. As a guy who sat in section 368 with my brother on my left, my dad on my right from age 6 to 18, and also saw every Rams game in person. I said, heck yes, I'll take a football team, you know, and give up what we had there for 3 years with the Rams. Rob Raines, you're up first.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, just because, yeah, the football Cardinals had a history here, and they, the problem with the football Cardinals was, you know, they just left us. I mean, the Rams, there was a different scenario in terms of why the football Cardinals left. But the football Cardinals didn't want to leave. I mean, they wanted
they
a
were
new
reasonable.
Stadium.
Bill Bidwell.
They wanted a new stadium. They did, were tired of sharing Busch Stadium with the baseball team and being the second banana. And the city would not, you know, help them build a new stadium. They would have stayed had they got a new stadium.
Plus, Alvin Reed, as you answer this question, you have to remember that we would still be one of the 32 cities. We'd get to see Aaron Rodgers. We'd get to see Tom Brady. We will never see those guys in person again. Now answer the question. I didn't want to sway you at all.
No, you didn't have to sway me at all.
Okay.
Because when did I graduate? So between 74 and 77, I was pretty much at every game. All right? Uncle Wilford out there. Yeah.
Actually picked the best years, too. Best Coryell years.
Because I'm good, but, you know, I'm younger than you,
yes.
Frank, you know.
I don't know about
but
that.
But no. Literally, I was already a Dallas Cowboys fan, okay, from a young age. But the fact that
Went to Kirkwood and you rooted for Dallas, Roger Staubach to beat Jim Hart? Are you a socialist too?
Green Bay beat Dallas in the Ice Bowl game for some weird reason. At 7 years old, I became a Dallas Cowboy fan.
So wait a minute.
Yes.
When that team would come to town, Tom Landry, you would root for Tom Landry and Stan Coryell.
With my Cowboys hat on.
Oh my gosh.
Have my Uncle Wilford on.
It'll turn off his mic.
Hey, wait,
did you get bullied?
A black couple came in and they had like regalia on. Remember how people really didn't wear stuff to the game? I had a Cowboys hat. They had pennants.
What did your parents think if they failed?
Oh, man. And I said, hey, we got some Cowboy fans. And they black too. And I like yelled this in the stadium. My Uncle Wilford, Wally out there, hey, dude. But to get to see the teams, I know these teams like that. I mean, I know the NFL because we had a team. And I got to see all these teams. And yeah, that's to me a no brainer.
Yeah.
No. Football franchise, yes.
But get back to this one more. I mean, didn't you, like when Mel Gray would catch a touchdown and spike it in between Cliff Harris and Benny Barnes in his face? Terry Metcalf would run through that Cowboy. You were not rooting for the Big Red.
Not against the Cowboys. It's kind of like when the Cowboys were at the Chiefs this year. I want the Chiefs to win every game they play. But I didn't want them to win that one.
Well, I got to be honest with you, along those lines, I'll tell you what, Rob.
Yeah.
When I was in Houston and Kansas City did not vote for the St. Louis Carson Project, that's it for the Kansas City. I know there's a lot of fans in St. Louis for the Chiefs. In fact, God bless them because we had one of the greatest television ratings of all time for Sports Plus on Sunday because the Chiefs played right before.
Right.
But I don't root for the Chiefs at all. I mean, I love Patrick Mahomes, but I don't care about them.
Yeah, you know what? I really didn't watch any NFL games except for the Super Bowl for the past, you know, 2 or 3 years after the Rams left. I've only now started to gradually get back to watching the Chiefs a little bit just because they're Missouri's team. I don't necessarily root for them, but I watch them more than the other teams, and I watch some of the playoffs. But it's taken me that long really to kind of, you know, get back to watching those games.
No, I understand that. I certainly understand that. I think that when the team was here and having the team still leads me in my pipe dream whenever I said, like, hey, look, if there was any chance or anything we had to do to get another team. And you all, everybody laughs at me. You laugh at me. Everybody laughs at me. And I was like, well, at least in the back of my mind, I go other places now. I was in Kansas City. I've been to other places since the Rams left on NFL weekends. And so, like, never mind how crappy the team is, or we hate the owner, or blah, blah, blah. That's good for the city. That's good for the region.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I do have to ask you about your team, just for the heck of it. You have an overrated coach, an overpaid running back, and maybe a quarterback who's probably not as elite as some people thought.
True, true. I'm going to give it another year or two on Dak
Prescott. He's not a top five, maybe not even a top 10.
I think he's top 10. I'm still waiting for the story to come out.
About injury?
Yes.
If that's the case, then he gets
back. Because, wait a minute, dude was on pace for one of the greatest NFL seasons ever, hurts his calf, is average the rest of the
season. He's really good against average teams.
Yeah, but they were just, something happened. Yeah. And I want to know what that something is. Now, I would fire Mike McCarthy yesterday.
Yeah. Probably won't because he's pretty patient with his coach.
Pretty patient? Yes,
Jason Garrett,
exactly. Yeah. Who are you going to bring in? You going to bring in Sean Payton if he wants to coach here? You can make a trade for Sean Payton. You can trade your first round draft
pick.
I'd
do that in a heartbeat.
I would do it too.
Well, maybe but he's not going to do it.
Because Sean Payton, the first thing he would say, like, you remember why I left in the first place, don't you? Was because I wasn't going to put up with you. That's why he did not aspire to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and went to New Orleans.
I think this conversation, back to the topic, is a little bit like Rocky IV. In the original Rocky, the older people think, wait, the original Rocky is the best movie ever made because it won the Oscar, it was the first of its kind. But younger people, Rocky IV is much better, even though it got killed by the critics. But it's like this question, like the Matt Rocchios of the world that are 16 years old, they'll all vote, I'd much rather have 3 years of the Rams than a football team forever. So.
No, because they don't remember, they weren't around to remember what the 70s and 80s were like with the football Cardinals here.
Yeah.
When you had, you know.
In a smaller place. But, okay, how old were you when the Rams came here?
I was born in 91.
Okay, so
you got to think. I was 8 years old in becoming a football fan during the greatest show on turf. It literally defined me as a football sports fan.
Okay, all right. Well, it hadn't occurred yet, but the greatest show on turf started at Busch Stadium for four games.
That's right.
And if you were at any one of those four games, it was a reminder of what the Big Red was. Mm-hmm. Okay, and when they moved into the dome, and God bless them that they got great and they won the Super Bowl, I never liked it. And that's a me thing. That's not a Rams thing. My wife and I went to all four games. We went to the one, then we went to the one in the dome, and she said, like, Alvin, it's dark and it's too loud. And to this day, I can say, like, a lot of people had that complaint. But my wife told me that the first game that they beat Carolina, in that game, they went to 5-1. Well, they won. They were 3-0. 49ers beat them. Beat the hell out of them. All right, 3-1. But then they won that game. They were 4-1. And we were going to the playoffs. And it was going to be great. And then,
There's two reasons to like the games in the dome. One is when it's 100 degrees, and one is when it's zero.
Yeah.
And I all sat out in games that were both.
I have been to both. And you're right. It's one of those things where, like, man, if you could just play over there.
I like those people in Buffalo. And it's not an NPC. Oh my gosh, this weekend watching them.
Or the Winter Classic game in hockey.
Oh, no, that was
that's crazy.
Right. I lived there. Why?
I lived in Michigan. And as soon as you get there, people say, like, listen, we stopped doing stuff because of the weather. We'd never do anything. So just buckle up and come on.
I like that one car commercial where they test the battery down to, like, so many degrees below zero. And they say, if you need a car battery that works in weather worse than this, you don't need a new battery. You need a new place to live.
All right. Because you're both Jayhawks, we have a little sound. Christian Brown, last night, with a heart-stopping moment as the Jayhawks win again. Let's take a listen.
Abaji now with Gibson on him. Abaji looking for some space. Brown got it. Oh, Christian Brown.
But remember, he knows that Brown is not a great outside shooter. But you know what? He's got great heart.
So they beat Oklahoma and my good friend Porter Moser 67-64. And it sets up a really interesting game on Saturday, because they're at Manhattan to face K-State, who's won back-to-back big games. Mark Smith from Edwardsville coming off a 22-point game. That is going to be, anytime those two teams play, it's great. And it's going to even be better now that they're both playing well.
Did you watch the game?
Yes.
Okay. I loved how they played. They got up. They had, Abaji, the wrist, and just a lot of, it was just a really knockdown, drag-out game. When that ball left Braun's hand, I didn't think it was going.
It looked like it was off to me. The camera angle, I thought it was going off the front of the rim.
Me too.
Yeah.
And it goes in, and I said, like, we got him. We got him. And then he hits two free throws. Like, you know, that was, you got to have it. So I'm sorry, people listening right now, you want to barf. But, yeah, big win for the Jam.
And just think, Bill Self could have been the Mizzou coach. He was in the hotel.
He was in the hotel.
Yeah. And they chose Quinn Snyder. I was thinking the other day, Mizzou also could have had another great coach.
Well, Matt Painter back.
Yeah, Matt Painter. That's right. They were playing Illinois.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if those two things would have been different? If you would have had Bill Self or Matt Painter running that program.
So if you had the football Cardinals still in St. Louis and you had Bill Self coaching Mizzou basketball, we'd be in a pretty perfect world.
Wow.
Right? What you're saying?
Now, what do you think, though, if Self was at Mizzou and that Kansas job, which is a top five job in the country, pops up, does he still go? Or is it pretty difficult for the guy at Mizzou to go to Kansas?
It would have been more difficult then than it is now because they were both in the Big 12. You know, I think he would have probably had some kind of clause in that Missouri contract that would not have let him go to a conference school without a tremendous buyout, would be my guess.
Yeah. Where do you weigh in on the Konzo situation? They win a big basketball game last night at Ole Miss, granted missing three starters, but Amari Davis goes 10 of 10 from the field. We're going to talk with Gabe DeArmond about this at 11:40, but where do you go on Konzo's job security as we speak?
Well, I did as the new year began, my column was just like some wishes. So I said, may Konzo Martin get his team together as they enter SEC play. And so far, it's kind of come true. Now, I think you need to win some games in the SEC tournament, but I mean, all you could do is beat a number 15 Alabama team at home and beat an Ole Miss team on the road and be 2-1, or are they 2-2 in the SEC now?
They are 2-3.
Okay, that's all right.
But they're 8-9 overall. I mean,
you got to keep it
up. Can you fire the guy if he wins 13 games after his resume and his character? The only thing that's working against them is, do they get better next year? Because most of the roster will be returned.
Well, if he gets next year. See?
Yeah, well, that's what they're thinking, though. And when they make that decision in March, are they going to be any better next year?
Well, that, like I said, if they finish 500 in the conference, okay?
Which would be very different.
All right, but let's say they finish 500 in the conference, all right? And then win, how many games? 18? You know, where at least you're like second to the second.
Next year or this year?
This year.
I don't think they'll get to that many wins.
18?
18 wins, no chance. He's got 12 left.
Oh, they only... Well, wait. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking there's more games coming. Like, yeah, 9-3, they ain't going to happen. All right. Never mind.
I think the fact that he's got a prior relationship with the new athletic director helps him because, you know, she was involved in hiring him at Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
And so I think they've got a relationship which helps. And I think, you know, it's... You know, I think it's going to come down to a financial decision as far as like...
Yeah,
you know,
by the way, come up with $5 million.
Yeah, but what do the boosters want? I mean, you know, and where is the money for the program and this whole NIL thing, you know, or whatever it is? Can they get money? Would they rather put money in that program than pay off a coach and get some recruits that, like the football kid from East St. Louis that they signed that, you know, is going to save that program? So,
yeah.
They just need to do that.
Yeah, let me read the first paragraph of Dave Matter's column about Mizzou's athletic revenue. With revenue ravaged by the pandemic, the University of Missouri's athletics department once again operated at a deficit during the 2021 fiscal year, but closed the gap thanks to nearby cross-the-board cost-cutting and a lifeline from the SEC. Boy, the SEC writing those big $20 million checks.
Yeah, but we
kind of helps.
There's a school to your west that seems to finish in the black.
Kansas does?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Now, obviously it's basketball, and obviously the budget probably isn't as large because, you know, we're not doing the whole SEC thing. But I mean, that, when they first signed on to go there, that you had to like there'd be some days like that.
Yeah,
because if you're going to play in that conference and then not win in that conference, and then your basketball arena is 25% full some nights. That you're not keeping up with the Joneses.
And where do they stand with the NCAA thing? Does that just go away or what?
Who knows?
I haven't heard anything about it at all.
Then they went to that committee with Condoleezza Rice on it, and they could just decide whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. And it's just.
And did he get a lifetime contract? Yeah, like
well, it is renewed automatic.
Yeah, automatic renewal.
Like, yeah.
A year or whatever.
That's just amazing. That thing just kind of goes away.
Well, I'm not there yet, Frank. I still think we'll face some punishment. I think he'll Bill Self will have to sit through the first two games next year against Farley.
He'll miss Washburn.
Washburn and Farley Dickinson.
Pittsburgh State.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's, and then we'll get that double secret probation where, like, you guys better behave yourself after this. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right, let's take a short time out. We have Alvin Reed. We have Rob Raines. When we come back, we're going to play a soundbite from a part owner of the Golden State Warriors and get their take on the NBA and what they're not doing.
This opening monologue is brought to you by our friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Check them out online at WWTRaceway.com and browse their schedule of racing events, drag racing, formula drift, and more. Grab your tickets today at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Their mission is to provide their fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close-and-personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to their drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track. Plus, special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888. The Marmarito Automotive Group is a proud sponsor of the Press Box. Check them out online at Marmarito.com. You can browse their entire inventory, new and pre-owned, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Find the car you want? The entire process can be done from the comfort of your home, and that includes at-home test drives. That's right. They'll bring the car to you. The Marmarito Automotive Group is celebrating their 50th year in the St. Louis market, and you don't get there by accident. You last that long because you are great at what you do, and you offer the best experience and service, and Bomarito does both. With over 15 locations across the metro area and a dozen different brands, Bomarito always has the finest cars and the best selection. That's Missouri's number one automotive group, available online at Bomarito.com.
This is 590 The Fan.
Far away from this life that you live in, you'll find a whole new beginning. Rediscover your family, show them you care for the rest of your life. You've gotta be there.
Ever feel like your car's on autopilot, pull out the drive and head for work, school, the mall? Every day like yesterday. Ever stop to think that road in front of your house leads to anywhere in the United States you want to go? And with an RV, you can take your home with you. Turn off the autopilot and turn on your imagination. Time slows down and spirits rise when you hit the road in an RV from Byerly in Eureka.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly
Trailer. For the rest of your life. Byerly Trailer. Rediscover your family. Show them you care for the rest of your life.
It's 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Stop by Paramount Jewelers in beautiful downtown Maplewood and help them celebrate their 75th anniversary. They offer a huge selection of bridal and fashion jewelry, and if you can't find exactly what you want, let them design a custom piece for you. They carry five different watch lines, including wooden watches, born right here in St. Louis. With almost a century of jewelry experience, complemented by a GIA graduate gemologist, Paramount Jewelers can handle any jewelry needs. They also offer watch and jewelry repair, and even restoration. If you're worried about your budget, they offer both layaway and up to 24 months interest-free financing. Don't forget to check out the newly restored Paramount Jewelers neon sign, an iconic piece of Maplewood architecture that is back in action as they celebrate the 75th anniversary of Paramount Jewelers. Over the years, they have developed an excellent reputation with their customers because of their service, quality, and fair pricing. Learn more at ParamountJewelers.com.
I I have a little announcement to make.
The 590 The Fan app has all your favorite shows, podcasts.
We had some good shows going on.
Yeah, and every now and then you add to the lineup.
Absolutely.
You release our podcast.
Download your favorite shows podcast at any time.
Testing. Testing.
All right, it's all good, baby. Go ahead.
To get the rest podcasted.
The 590 The Fan app.
Excellent.
You know, you're looking at your phone.
Download the app in your app store today.
Saliga Heating and Cooling is a family-owned and operated HVAC company ready to handle all your home needs. Maintenance, duct cleaning, smart thermostats, air cleaners, water heaters, and more. Dan and my friends at Saliga have you covered. They're here for St. Louis with 72 months of 0% interest on all new systems and offer residential and commercial service on all makes and models. Give them a call at 314-481-7333 and check out all of their services online at Saliga Heating and Cooling.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning on the Press Box for the Kuna Food Service Weekly Special with your host, Frank Cusimano, and special guest host, Joe Fresta, as they highlight a local restaurant in the St. Louis community. It's the Kuna Food Service Weekly Special on the Press Box.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. It's a Jayhawk first hour with Rob Raines and Alvin Reed. And because you guys are in here, I just texted Bruce Weber and said, can you do radio tomorrow to talk about your great Kansas State team as they get ready for the Jayhawks? By the way, some great St. Louisans on that team. They got a kid from Melville. They got a kid from Chaminade. And, of course, Mark Edwards, the star from Edwardsville, had 22 last night. All right, so there is a owner for the Golden State Warriors. He basically owns about 10 to 15%. And his name is like not even pronounceable, but it's called Pala Patapia. And he had these comments about China yesterday. Trudy.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really
what?
Care. And I think
what
that's
do you mean
nice that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard...
Wait, you're saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
So the genocide going on in China and the woke NBA league and a owner in that league saying something like that. Thoughts?
Well, okay. All right. I don't want to say I agree with him, but in the realm of things, okay, people are like, what's going on in China? What can I do? You know? And so I think when the league looks at it from the fiduciary side, and when you look at it from, you know, what Americans think.
Why not NBA take less money and not deal with this corrupt country?
Well, because I could say that about a lot of countries.
But I mean, if you're going to be the woke league and care about human rights.
No, I can be all that. NFL is a woke league. Got one black coach. You know.
Okay, let's go. That's another topic. It's a legitimate topic.
All right,
but you can't portray yourself like this.
Sure you can.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Do you know that there's slavery in China? And those shoes are made by slaves with that cotton?
Listen. I don't know that they're slaves. You have to send me the source on that.
Oh,
okay?
Well, I tell you what. Anything about China, and it's negative, I think I would tend to go that way.
Well,
I wouldn't believe the optimistic side of China.
I agree with you, Frank. But I'm just saying, I need to see that source that they're slaves. I mean,
okay. Right. Well, but first, wait a minute. There's people dying in China.
Yes.
Okay. And for this guy to make, why would I care about Germany? There's Jewish people dying. I'm living in the United States. About that.
Well, I'm talking about 2022, not 1942. How we look at things in this world now. I mean, The countries in Africa, what's going on there? Don't nobody care about genocide down there. Don't nobody care about 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds
running around with guns. Well, yeah, but the NBA is not doing, like, direct business and profiting from China.
But who, look at the American corporations that
do business. Then they're guilty, too. Well, but if I'm the NBA, I take a stance that this is enough. And I don't want people, a representative of my league, saying something as insensitive as that.
Okay, wait. I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying that what he is saying is the reality is it does not hurt us to make this money. So we're going to make this money. It's a cruel world. We all know that, Frey. All right. I'm not excusing it. Oh, and by the way, if I own the other 85%, he gets a talking to, like, man, shut up. Mm-hmm. You know? But
yeah, I wonder what the context was. Why they were even talking to him?
Yeah, I would have liked that first question.
All these owners are like this, like Mark Cuban, Mr. Woke himself. Well, know, when he starts talking about China, he just shuts up. He did an interview with Megyn Kelly, and he sounded like a 12-year-old.
But if this guy was such a minority owner of the team, why were they talking to him to begin with?
It's his own podcast that he's on with a bunch of... He's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, tech guy.
Yeah,
so he has a podcast where he has other guys on... who are in the business.
I see.
And his co-host was the one you heard being like, what are you saying right now?
He's kind of incredulous. No excuse for this, but podcast is different. Okay? And you're just out there trying
to... statement is a statement. I mean, whether you say it on a podcast or a radio show or a TV show.
No, I don't think he was...
He's expressing his feelings.
I don't think he would have said that on a television or a radio show. Doesn't excuse his comments. But, by the way, 15% of this multi-billion-dollar franchise, all right... You can say what you want to, but you don't represent the team. It was out of line what he said. But what I'm saying is that maybe there was more truth than there was scorn.
I think he's talking just based on that, which is the first time I've heard it. And I don't know anything about the guy or his situation or what he has said in the past or whatever. But to me, he's talking as an individual there and not as a representative of the league or the team. I mean, because that obviously is not the position of the overall
but
team.
But every time he talks, he's a representative.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Well, he is. But I'm saying is, so he's not, he doesn't have the majority ownership.
I can say, like, terrible things about Chinese people, but if I'm not doing it on Channel 5, it's okay?
No, I don't. Well, Frank, it's not never okay to talk bad about anybody. But I'm just saying, though, to me, you have to separate what he's saying as a person, like Joe Smith just sitting in a room talking and saying, I'm speaking on behalf of the Golden State Warriors.
Right. And people who work in, I think we've all worked someplace, okay, where somebody who is not in an absolute position of authority said some whack stuff. And it wasn't like, I felt like, yeah, we're all thrown in there. You know, the whole business, the whole station, the whole paper is wrapped up in this nuts way of seeing things.
Okay, how about this, too? And it's a text, and I think it's a legitimate question. Mm. If anybody really cared, why isn't anybody boycotting the Olympics? Mm. And I wouldn't be opposed to the United States saying, you know what? We don't want to deal with China. We don't want to deal with how you treat human beings. We're out. I have no problem with that.
They have a diplomatic boycott. They're not sending any representatives. Yeah. Other than that, that's all there is.
Now, if you were going to take the athletes out, okay, right. How'd that work out? Okay. When the United States
Which one?
1980. 1980.
Yeah.
And then the Eastern Bloc. Yeah. Didn't go to Moscow. How'd that turn out?
Biggest people you heard
of.
Oh my God. Yes,
you have to go to the Olympics. Didn't people destroy Jimmy Carter for all the athletes?
Yeah, yeah.
You just ruined their careers.
You did this. And you did that. Right. Is that like, okay. Well, we saw what America's reaction is when we don't go to the Olympics.
I think
so now we're going. Everybody's like, I can't believe you're going.
I got to say something. I think if it happened now, it would be far less criticized.
No, I doubt. Nope. I'm not trying to go down this path. Okay.
You already have.
Go ahead, Alvin. Go.
But if the president of the United States had announced that we were not sending any athletes to China, there'd be a whole nother song and dance going on out there. So I'm just going to leave it.
What do you mean? So his popularity would go even lower?
Well, put it this way. Instead of people saying, like, we should not go. We should not be there. It would be like, why are we not going? You're not an American. Blah, blah, blah. Right. It would just be different. Different situations create different reactions. And that would be a different reaction.
Now, I think I'm accurate about this. The Olympics in 1980, especially the Summer Olympics, are so big and the ratings where there's, you know, 1,000 less TV stations than there are now.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a big deal that we didn't go. Now, with so many TV shows out there, and it's the Winter Olympics, and the hockey players aren't even going, which is probably the best sport, I'm not sure if there's a big uproar. And I say this as a guy who works at an NBC affiliate who wants people to watch.
No.
You think there'd be that big of an uproar?
Oh, absolutely. Politically.
I think the only way it would have worked from a boycott standpoint is if the United States had gotten the support of other countries. So you have multi-nations not sending teams. So it's not just the United States.
Because I'm actually, you know, like what? America didn't go. And then Moscow didn't send. I thought some Eastern Bloc countries took part in 84. Okay. Now, it was in Los Angeles.
80.
I'm sorry. It was in Los Angeles.
Well, 80 was the boycott. 84 was the next one.
84 was the next
one. LA. Yeah.
All right. And then LA, you know, America won a bazillion medals and it was all good and everything like that, you know.
16 nations joined the U.S. in 1980.
All right.
Boycotting the Moscow.
Okay. Olympics. All right. So we weren't by ourselves. And we might not have been by ourselves if we had
decided. Yeah, if we made the stand.
If we made the stand, there may have been other countries.
We might have joined, yeah.
Right.
Okay, I don't know.
But in this day and age, who knows? Right. And like I said, ain't nothing changed. You know, 80%, I won't say that because I don't want to get mad at you, Frank. But a large percentage of the stuff in Walmart is made in China. And it ain't nobody stopping going to Walmart. Right. So,
I'm not a real fan of the fact you got to pay your check out by yourself, though, without it.
I know. What is that about?
You can't figure that out, Rob?
Man, I figured it out. No, I've got like, wait, that's right.
I'm just saying, though, it's just like,
man, I want
three people standing there. You have to ask them a question. Why couldn't they
work in the cash register?
Do you do the check? At Walmart, they don't even have checkers at all.
No, not sometimes. Sometimes you go in there, they don't have any.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I go to Schnucks because we're big fans. Well,
they don't sell the same stuff.
Wait, you get your bad people on.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's get another topic here. What about spring training? And, Rob, there's got to come a point where these owners have all these big, fat contracts with pitchers. Mm-hmm. They got to be careful how late they start this if they want to start the season on time. So it's a two-part question. When do you think spring training will officially start? I know you don't know for sure, just gut. And then when do you think the season will actually start?
I still think we have a chance to have a start basically March 1st. I think you need.
So a 2-week delay.
Back it up. I mean, the season's supposed to start March 31st. So if your whole goal is to start the regular season on time, everybody always tells you spring training is too long anyway. I think if they have a month, they could get ready to start the season, especially if you start the season with an expanded roster for the first couple, 3 weeks, you know, go to 28 or 29 players instead of 26. I think you could do it. But if they get past March 1st, then I think the start of the season is in jeopardy.
So
I think probably the February 20th, February 22nd, somewhere in there, that's when you'll see both sides get serious and maybe try to do a deal. I don't know. I mean, the thing's so messed up. I mean, they have, you know, people on both sides that are just, you know, won't want to compromise. And the problem is, you know, this doesn't really answer your question, but it's something that is relevant to me. I think the owners blew it by imposing the lockout to me. There was no reason to start that lockout on December the 2nd if you weren't going to negotiate starting December 3rd. They've had, what, one session since then that they've talked for
a week
1 hour, made one proposal. Now we're waiting for the union to get back. They could have done the same thing and not had the lockout, had business operate just as normal. We could have had the winter warm-up. We could have had the caravans. We could have had negotiations going on contracts. You just work under the expired CBA until you get a new one, and nothing would have changed. And then you get to the start of spring training. If you don't have a deal, then that's when you get serious about it. And if you get and you negotiate during spring training, if you don't get to the start of the regular season, you don't have a deal. Force the players to go on strike, because that's right now, I think the owners are the ones that are the bad guys because they're in the lockout.
Yeah, they lock them out.
And from a public perception, you know, all the public pressure is on the owners. The owners are the ones that don't want anything to change. They're happy with the way things are.
Okay, so if the players got to become free agents 1 year earlier, mm-hmm. and got to arbitration 1 year earlier,
it'd be fine.
Then it's game, set, match. We're playing right away.
If the owners would agree to that, I think the players would agree to that.
I do too.
But I don't think the owners will agree to that.
Okay, so what can the players get out of this? If the owners aren't going to budge on the two things they've already beaten the players at the negotiating table before.
I think they'll get to arbitration earlier. I think there'll be some kind of
compromise. Okay, 1 year arbitration earlier.
Or at least a higher percentage of the players who will be arbitration eligible after 2 years.
So that would be enough for the players?
Well, I think they'll also have to raise the salaries for the first two-year players. So even if you're not going to arbitration, you're still going to get a higher salary.
So that number would be what? The minimum now is?
560, 550. Okay. He'll go to 650 1 year, 750 the next.
And so we got a deal.
Right. I mean, that to me would be the way to go about it. I don't know. I mean, it all depends on what the – again, if the owners get gun-shy closer to the start of the spring training and realize that they're going to start, you know, having a possibility of having games canceled during the regular season, I think they'll come down on fear of demand. So at least that's what the players are going to count on, because the players feel like they lost the last negotiations in 2016. And that's why they're adamant about not losing again. So the owner's going to have to give them something to have a deal. The onus is going to be on the owners to come up with a compromise that makes sense, that's not just, you know, window dressing.
All right. So once I'm – all right, they keep me down. I'm a star player. They keep me down until June 1st, whatever. So they got the extra year. All right. From then to when – if I just say, like, I'll go to arbitration, but I am not signing a long-term contract. I want out of here. That's six seasons?
Mm-hmm.
See?
3 years of arbitration. Yeah, you're not eligible for arbitration until 3 years, and then the 3 years of arbitration.
Okay. That's just too much. I mean, to me, that's too much. I mean, I don't think any wage-earning individual, regardless of the contract signed or whatever, beyond, like, a long-term, you know, deal, should be forced to stay someplace 6 years. I just think that that's, I mean, I think five is reasonable. I mean, I'm crazy enough to think four. I mean, I know then people would be changing teams right and left, but five is, you got 5 years out of the guy. And if he doesn't want to play there anymore, mm-hmm. he should have the right to go where he wants to play, or i.e. get paid more money. That's mine. And that, to me, I just think that's still.
Well, that's where I think the trade-off has to be. If you're going to keep free agency at that level, then you have to increase the salaries prior to that.
Yeah, all right.
Whether it's through arbitration or through a system or something else.
It just seems to me that you're putting individuals in a situation where they might be someplace that they don't want to be. I kind of don't get that.
Let's take a break. We'll talk a little Cardinal baseball, too, when we come back. Some on-the-field stories. Alvin Reed is here. Rob Raines is here. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.
Dr. Michael Jones is a proud sponsor of the Press Box. For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 1-866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the Press Box and practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. He's board certified in ophthalmology, and he's also an assistant professor at St. Louis University, which means you're trusting your health to the best in the business. Don't let your eye health just be something you learn to live with. Call Dr. Michael Jones today to find out just how easy it is to make your life just a little more simple. He sees patients at several locations, convenient for everyone across the metro area. That's Dr. Michael Jones, a proud sponsor of the Press Box. Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor, and they are happy to announce that concerts are back in full swing at the amphitheater. Check out HollywoodCasinoSt.Louis.com and visit their entertainment section to browse the always growing schedule of shows and purchase your tickets today. Be sure to take advantage of the amphitheater shuttle. It takes you from the casino to the amphitheater and back after the show. No hassle, no traffic. Once you head back to the casino, take advantage of their delectable dining destinations with premier St. Louis choices like the Final Cut Steakhouse, 99 Hops House, and Charlie Gito's. That's Hollywood Casino St. Louis, the title sponsor of the Press Box.
Ever feel like your car's on autopilot, put out the drive, and head for work, school, the mall? Every day like yesterday. Ever stop to think that road in front of your house leads to anywhere in the United States you want to go? And with an RV, you can take your home with you. Turn off the autopilot and turn on your imagination. Time slows down and spirits rise when you hit the road in an RV from Byerly in Eureka.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly.
15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Stop by Paramount Jewelers in beautiful downtown Maplewood and help them celebrate their 75th anniversary. They offer a huge selection of bridal and fashion jewelry, and if you can't find exactly what you want, let them design a custom piece for you. They carry five different watch lines, including wooden watches, born right here in St. Louis. With almost a century of jewelry experience, complemented by a GIA graduate gemologist, Paramount Jewelers can handle any jewelry needs. They also offer watch and jewelry repair, and even restoration. If you're worried about your budget, they offer both layaway and up to 24 months interest-free financing. Don't forget to check out the newly restored Paramount Jewelers neon sign, an iconic piece of Maplewood architecture that is back in action as they celebrate the 75th anniversary of Paramount Jewelers. Over the years, they have developed an excellent reputation with their customers because of their service, quality, and fair pricing. Learn more at ParamountJewelers.com.
This is what you can expect to hear on 590 The Fan.
Good stuff.
Maybe this is a bad analogy.
I told him to turn left. He said, no, I'm going right.
What about him? What about them? Jesus, save us from the hypocrites.
Close your eyes. What do you hear?
No. I got questions for you, homeboy.
Make sure to tune in.
Well, then it's game, set, match.
Yeah. All day long.
Yeah, let's go.
Now, hold on.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
You can only hear it on 590 The Fan.
Tune in every Thursday morning on the Press Box for the Kuna Food Service Weekly Special with your host, Frank Cusimano, and special guest host Joe Fresta as they highlight a local restaurant in the St. Louis community. It's the Kuna Food Service Weekly Special on the Press Box.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back, Hollywood Casino Press Box. We have in studio Rob Raines and Alvin Reed. All right, so I say this is a guy who's been double vaxxed and had a booster and take vitamin D quite a bit. How do you explain this? NHL told teams today that 73% of the league's rosters have tested positive this season. That's despite having 100% of NHL players COVID vaccinated. How do you explain that?
I think the weirdness of what we're dealing with, Omicron, and I've never believed that 100% of people were actually vaccinated in any sport. I don't think they're all Antonio Brown, but I think
So some fake vax cards?
Yeah.
I also think, too, you're testing people that really have no symptoms. And if you test enough people, somebody's going to have test positive. I mean, to me, that's you know, you keep testing long enough, you're going to find something.
Right, that's true. Like the percentage of people that had COVID in May of what 2020
yeah.
If everybody had got tested, it would have been like damn, a big percentage of people that actually had.
Because they say if you're double vaxxed and boosted, the chances are that you even if you get it, you may not even know it.
It makes for an interesting scenario in the NBA playoffs if the Brooklyn Nets are, say, playing in the NBA Finals and Kyrie Irving, who reiterated yesterday he's not going to be vaccinated, can't play home games. So if they get the home court advantage, he's not going to play in four of the seven.
And if you are that self-centered, I hope you lose. I hope your team loses. I hope they run you out of town like they did the tennis player down there in Australia. So, like, and I'm not saying you have to get vaccinated. What I'm saying is you play on a team.
Yeah, you have a choice. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you don't play.
Right.
That's real simple.
Yeah, and if you choose not to play your home games in the playoffs, well, okay, good. You're holding your philosophical standard. But you're also spitting on your teammates. I mean, like, what? Oh, so all that team stuff and all that we're all together stuff, they don't mean nothing. So, yeah. Plus, Kyrie Irving ain't the poster child for, you know, philosophical thought and, you know, rights or anything like that. That, you know, the earth is flat guy. I mean, I'm not taking any kind of lead or authority from Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving wants to be in the newspaper every day.
But I wonder if he sees this NHL stat that 100% vaccination and 75% got it. So why should I get it?
Well, that's fine. But you can't play. The NBA say you can't play in your home game. State of New York said you can't play.
So now you have to decide. You could take all those facts and all that literature in there, but it's like, we ain't even talking about that. We're saying, like, you want to play home games, you got to get back.
All right, back to the Cardinals on the field. So basically what we're seeing from the organization, if I'm reading this correctly, is they're not trying to catch the Dodgers and Braves. They're trying to beat the Brewers because they're not going to bring in a DH with a 30 home run resume.
I think they'd love to catch the Dodgers. And I think the problem is that where do they think they have to have to do that, as far as, you know, what players you would bring in and what players you were going to come in internally, moves they're going to make. I think they feel like they have a good enough team to beat the Brewers. Now, do they have a good enough team to beat the Dodgers? I don't know whether they do or not, because we don't know enough about the new young players who are going to be coming in. But I think their feeling is, how much, what will we have to add? How much would it cost? And would that still really be enough to beat the Dodgers?
Hey, the Dodgers didn't win the World Series last year. The Atlanta Braves didn't. The Atlanta Braves limped into the playoffs, kind of like Cardinals 06, 011.
But you look at the Braves' dynamic offensive attack. With Acuna coming back.
With him coming back.
That's a better team.
It's a better team, but I'm not really into how the Cardinals, look at this. But at the same time, if we just get in, we've got a chance. And I think that's more so in baseball than any other of the professional sports. Maybe because number eight has won, somebody who's number eight in the conference has won the Stanley Cup before.
Yeah, and then as we speak now, how do you think the at-bats at the DH spot, if in fact there is, will be divvied up if you had to say 60% to this guy, 30%? Just gut feel, I know it's kind of off the top of your head. But
I think they'll split it up. I really do.
And
Yepes, Yepes, Gorman, Nootbaar, and then give, Goldschmidt and Arenado and O'Neill days off.
This is the truth. I was going to say the exact same thing. I said, it will all be, I think 35% will probably be the highest. And then everything else will be just chopped down, winnowed down.
So Gorman will make the team, play a little bit at second base. And
he may not start the season here. Okay. I mean, he might be, May, June kind of thing, depending on what they do with the shortstop situation.
And what does your five look like starting rotation?
Flaherty, Wainwright, Hudson, Michaelis, and who am I leaving out?
Reyes? The lefty.
Matt Nugent.
And then where does Reyes fit in?
I think him and Woodford will both be like flex guys, especially if you start the season without a full 6-week spring training and your starters are only going, 3-4 innings for that first month. I think you'll see those guys pitching, two or three inning game, middle innings of the game for the first month of the season.
Any reports on Jordan Hicks?
I have not heard a thing.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I saw the last game he pitched in Arizona, the second game he was out there, and he left after two innings and threw like four wild pitches and claimed he was ready to enjoy a normal offseason. So, I don't know.
So you went to Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay, what else jumped out at you? Either a young player or...
Yepes was playing good. Nootbaar was playing good. I mean, Gorman got hurt, so he didn't really play as much after the first week. He didn't play. So, but
could you picture Nootbaar pushing Vader?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, I think he's going to get some at-bats, and he'll play some games. I think they're very happy with him being the fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll push really Vader's playing
time. Would you think that Tyler O'Neill could become like a perennial all-star, if you had to guess?
I mean, all of them, right now I say no, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
how about this? Let me ask you. Of the three, who do you think 10 years from now will be saying had the best career? The three starting outfielders, Carlson, Bader, and O'Neill.
Carlson.
You'll say Carlson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Carlson. Because of age, primarily. I mean, he'll be probably this year 23. O'Neill's 27. So, Bader, I don't think we'll ever match either one of those guys offensively. Better than both of them defensively, but...
But if O'Neill's a gold glover and he has the potential to be a 40 home run guy and Carlson doesn't, why wouldn't you think? And O'Neill runs too.
Because I think Carlson will have a longer career because he's playing now.
Less injury prone, maybe?
Less injury prone. He's not playing now at 23.
Yeah.
Right. All right. How much would I wager that Bader and O'Neill win gold gloves again this year? I think they'll play good defense, but I don't know if they'll win gold gloves.
All right. And now, how about looking at your crystal ball? Distribution of playing time at the shortstop position.
That's the one position where, we might not get one of those gigantic names out there, but somebody might come and play shortstop. I still think in the back of my mind that might happen. Not huge money, but, and Rob, you know more about who's floating around out there. But
well, I think Story's the one guy that you might have a shot at on a one-year deal just because of the relationship with Arenado. And then he'll hit the market next year and be able to go somewhere else.
You would have to move the young vet.
Yes.
Yes. And that's all I'm saying is that I'm not set on that's who the starting shortstop for the Cardinals is going to be.
Now, what would Trevor Story's numbers look like in Busch Stadium?
That's the thing. I don't know. There's got to be some reduction.
Well, one thing we don't know is, remember, right at the end of the season, they talked about making some adjustments to the stadium with the fences and stuff because of the offense was so bad here. But then, of course, everything happened and shut down. So you don't know if they're still thinking about, changing the stadium or not.
There were significantly less home runs hit at Busch?
Yeah,
definitely a pitcher-friendly ballpark.
We're one of the bottom five pretty much every year, right?
You look at the difference between the home and road. Look at the home and road numbers for the Cardinals offense versus, runs as well as just runs per game.
But what if they don't make a move? How would you distribute the playing time between Sosa and DeYoung?
I think DeYoung starts. It's his job to lose because I think, they like Sosa, but I still think they think DeYoung has the potential to be a better offensive player.
Even with Sosa, I'm still like, I think Sosa was in the perfect position. Six-man role as opposed to starter kind of thing. That's what I saw in him. But in all honesty, he did kind of win the position at the end of the year.
And the wild card of that, too, is Gorman. Because if Gorman hits well enough that you have to find him a place to play and you don't want to pigeonhole him as a DH at age 22, then he plays second. And then what do you do with Tommy Edman? Does he just become an extra guy, rotating guy, or does he become a shortstop?
Hey, normally at this time, they would all be at the Jupiter headquarters working out. So that thing is completely shut down to them, right?
Well, minor league guys can go there, but you can't have any big league guys there.
Yeah, so many guys are down there that live down there. They cannot walk into the complex, huh?
But they could work out someplace
else. They're working out somewhere else, in a park or somewhere else.
Right, and then a coach cannot be there. Nobody can be, they just can't be around.
I don't think so.
What about the catching spot? How do you think the playing time would be distributed there? Doesn't Yachty get a little less and less?
I would think so, but you never know with Yachty. I mean, I thought that last year, too. But I think if he is really serious, this next year is going to be his last year. It can't be a 50-50 split, but it's got to be two-thirds, one-third.
Well, I was going to say, if one out of three games you're at 33%, I said like 65-35 was kind of like what I had in my mind. But then you have to, when he's banged up or something like that, you need to have him.
There again, the play. DH, if the DH happens, that's a possibility. You could let him DH one game a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And still keep him in the lineup. So.
All right. Anything we can promote from your end, future articles or TV shows or books?
Just watch Donnybrook Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
STLSportsBase.com. We'll see what's going on with the Cardinals. Not a lot at the moment, but, never know. Obviously, interesting signing over the weekend with this kid from South Korea.
Oh, yeah, real quickly. Incredible power.
Yeah, I suppose. I've seen the highlights on YouTube. I mean, I couldn't tell you any personal knowledge about him, but I'm surprised that there wasn't a whole lot more interest in the kid or that they had to get more. He's 17, yeah.
Left-handed hitter, what position?
Center field, 6'2", 200 pounds. It'll be real interesting to see, how most of those kids don't jump to the States as a free agent, as a minor at that level, they go play in Korea for 4 or 5 years first. So,
good stuff, guys. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, Alvin Reed and Rob Raines.